work it, make it, do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya.
On 1116 SEN, The Flame with Jason Richardson, featuring the latest from the world of track and field.
Welcome to The Flame Show, SEN's very own track and field show. I'm Jason Richardson. It gives me great pleasure to talk the wonderful sport of track and field. We'll update you with everything that's going on both here in Australia as we build up towards the London Olympic Games, and hopefully the Australian Flame team does their very best at the Olympics. We'll talk local aths, but also we'll talk international track and field. There's so much going on. We will chat today to a superstar of world sport. And in the island of St. Kitts and Nevis, this man, Kim Collins, is a superstar. He's got his own highway. He's got his own day named after him. He, of course, is Kim Collins, former world sprint champion. And he was third in the world championships in Daegu this year. So much to talk about in the world and track and field. And I've been joined with a special guest in the studio. This girl was 15th in the 20K race walk at the world championships this year. Her senior debut. I say a very good hello to Regan Lamble. Lovely to see you, Regan.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in and being our very first co-host of The Flame Show. You're in for a big thrill. We're going to chat to Kim Collins. Lots to talk about. I look at you and I say you're a fit girl. Things are going well in training?
I think so. Yeah, at this stage they're going quite well. Coming into summer, looking forward to it. So hopefully the training will pay off, all this base training we've been doing post-World Champs, and be a good season, hopefully.
We're going to talk a lot about London and building up towards the London Olympic Games. You're in a privileged position.
Yeah, so I've still got a lot of work to do. I've got one qualifier on the board already, so fingers crossed I can, I suppose, maintain my form and, permitting I do that, I think I'll be okay, hopefully.
We'll talk a lot about your world championship experience at Daegu very shortly. But first, I think we need to catch up with the latest news in track and field, both here and abroad. And the latest news in track leads us away over in New Zealand. They may be going just averagely in the cricket, but 16-year-old Jacko Gill from New Zealand broke his own national senior record in the shot put. He is 16 years of age and he's thrown 20.38 metres in Auckland on Monday. That is amazing. Now, Regan, you'll be interested in this piece of news. British sprinter James Ellington has taken an unusual route to attract a sponsor by putting himself on auction on eBay. He's had 60 bids, and at the moment, the leading bid is £31,000 for a sponsor to put a sign
it's
on him.
It's not a bad way to do it, I think.
Well,
might have started, it's a good idea.
Talking about sponsorship, you find sponsorship hard to attract in the walk?
I suppose so. I mean, it's obviously not the highest profile event in track and field, so I think I personally don't have a sponsor, but I know a lot of the walkers do get a bit of sponsorship, which is great, obviously. I think, you know, it's like anything, though. You've got to put yourself out there to an extent and hopefully you'll find something.
Other news, a year out from the London Olympics and Kenya's Asbel Kiprop has finally received the 1500-metre gold medal he belatedly won in Beijing 3 years ago. Of course, you'll remember that story. After the initial race winner, Arashi Ramzi of Bahrain, was disqualified for being found guilty of using a banned substance. So now Kiprop gets his Olympic gold medal. But, Regan, as you can imagine, what he does miss out on, though, is the thrill of standing on the dais, hearing his national anthem. We can never replace that.
Yeah, I suppose that would be, quite upsetting in some ways. But, I mean, having said that, he's still officially Olympic champion, which is something you can't take off him now. So
that's right. There's just got to be a better way we can find out to make sure that athletes like him get to experience the ultimate. And one of the ultimate parts of winning Olympic gold medal is standing on the dais, hearing your national anthem, being crowned the Olympic champion. But belatedly, he's finally got his Olympic medal. And also, I thought this was great news. Flame captain Steve Hooker declared Sally Pearson, and this is one for argument, the greatest athlete in Australia at the moment during the launch of the 2012 Australian Athletics Tour. I know cycling fans would be arguing that Cadel Evans is the greatest, but I'm sure you're a little biased and you think Sal's pretty special as well.
Yeah, I think Sal's a great athlete. I mean, I think what she's done this year has been phenomenal. I don't think, you know, but then obviously you've got people like Cadel. I think it's impossible to judge them both, you know, compare. They're just so different. So, but Sal's had a great year, so I think she definitely deserves a comment like that.
We
sure.
all remember her great moment in winning the World Championships, Sally Pearson. What a star she is.
They go first time. Good start from Pearson. Porter up there, challenging for second place. And out in lane seven, Kelly Wells. But it's going to be Sally Pearson. She's going tremendously well. Porter still vying for medals, but weakening. And Pearson takes the gold. And the winning time, 12.28. She's gone faster again.
Now, Regan, you're a 20-year-old girl from Canberra. Tell us about your background. How did you get involved in the sport of walking?
Well, I'm originally from Melbourne. I moved to Canberra when I was 18, so I got offered a scholarship to train at the Australian Institute of Sport there. But, I mean, prior to that, I really just sort of fell into the sport of race walking, I guess. I mean, I didn't really go in search of trying to become a race walker. I mean, it's a great sport, but, yeah, I sort of fell into it.
How does that happen? How do you fall into it?
Yeah, through Little Athletics. Yeah. I sort of, I was probably about 12, and initially I actually hated the event. It was I was so bad. And I remember I walked up and down just because I kept getting disqualified every week. Yeah. So I walked up and down the hallway at home for a few weekends in a row, and then went to Little Athletics and strutted my stuff one weekend, and then... yeah, the coaches sort of thought I had some sort of potential. So it literally just snowballed. I mean, I went to, you know, regionals and state and then, never stopped. So
it's all about aerobic capacity, naturally, looking at the walk. I mean, 20K walk, 50K walk that we see the men do is just extraordinary. It is such a long event. Mm. So are you just aerobically gifted, or is it something naturally you've had to work really hard on?
I think to an extent I've probably got some sort of aerobic, I don't know, gift, not quite, don't know what the gift. But,
no, we'll go with gift, we love gift.
I mean, as I said, I always did the longer distance stuff, I always had a bit more of a knack for that, I can't sprint to save myself.
Yeah.
So I'd say, I mean, that's probably, I'm more inclined to do the longer stuff. But.
And the AIS has got a great history of walks. I mean, my mind goes back to Kerry Saxby Jr. way back in the day, back when you were a young girl and I wasn't quite as young as you. And Nick Ahern was a great walker. And then did you fall in love with it a lot and be inspired with some of the great feats of Jane Saville, for example?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think when she won, when she won a medal in Athens, I would have been just sort of starting, dabbling around in the sport, and same as when Deeksy won a medal at Athens. So I think seeing that's pretty cool. And obviously then you've had people like Jared since then and sort of come along, and they always sort of keep your motivation up when you see those guys, you know, your training partners doing well. So
yeah, I think it's no coincidence that we've decided to bring you in for our very first show, because when you actually break down all the categories of athletics in Australia, the walk, as a single unit, is just about our most successful category. We've always had great heritage in the walk. Why?
As you said, AIS, Australian Institute of Sport in particular, has had a really good history with it. I mean, they're so supportive of us. And I think just having that sort of, that group and that sort of healthy community of walking, we just keep going from strength to strength, I guess. And the future's looking good as well. I think we've got a few younger ones coming through that showing a lot of potential. So hopefully we can keep things going the way they are. And I think at the walks probably don't get as much credit as they deserve, because I think we do as an event group. We've been obviously quite successful. Yeah. I mean, we get great support, but I think from maybe outside of athletics.
Great support internally, but externally, you know, the sport of walking is not necessarily revered outside. I mean, has that become a frustration for you?
To an extent. I think people, the one thing that I guess would get on my nerves is that people don't seem to appreciate it, the work we have to do. I think they sort of assume, because it's race walking, it's all sort of easy and cruisy. And I mean, we definitely have to put in the work. But having said that, I mean, we do get great support from athletics and, you know, the other event groups and all of that. It's not like we're complete outcasts or anything. No. But, I think hopefully one day, I think it's gradually building up a profile. And if people can just appreciate what we do at the end of the day, that's, you know, that's great. So
now, do you actually live on campus at the AIS?
I moved out about a year ago. So I've been living in a house with another race walker, Jess Rothwell.
Okay.
Just about 5 minutes away from the Australian Institute of Sport.
But if you're studying and you study art history at uni and you're also walking, and naturally you need to go overseas for a long period of time and do a lot of warm weather training and altitude training and the like, how do you fund all this?
As I said, got good support from the AIS, Athletics Australia as well. I've been really great with everything. It's busy lifestyle, but you manage, I guess. And, I mean, I enjoy it. I'm into routine and having, you know, always busy. So having said that, I like a good rest. But, yeah. Yeah, it's good fun at the moment. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. So.
And do you like the travelling lifestyle? Way back in the day, before you can even remember, when I was doing a little bit of athletics, actually going away on tour and spending 6 or 8 weeks living, dreaming, breathing, living athletics. Some athletes love it and others can't stand it. Which category do you fit in?
I haven't had a bad experience yet. Yeah. Maybe that's why I like it. But, I'm having a great time doing it. I've got the walkers are a great bunch of people to hang around with. We all get along really well, which I guess helps, definitely. And so far my experiences with, you know, just going to world champs and stuff with all the other athletes, I mean, they're all great to hang around with. So it's not like it's a painful experience, that's for sure. So, yeah, fun. And I think as long as you can somehow take your mind away from the track and, you know, I've got a lot of interests outside of athletics, so I think, you know, that balances my life out.
Okay, what interests is that?
Well, obviously, I'm studying at uni. I'm actually doing graphic design, to be more specific. So, obviously, that sort of realm of things. Yeah. I'm into all, you know, art and obviously just normal 20-year-old things, I suppose. I think it's important to have, you know, other interests.
And trying to get a balance. And, of course, naturally, your friends are all out living the 20-year-old life and you're being an elite athlete. Yeah. That's a balance as well, trying to say yes to the key things but saying no to the rest of the stuff. So that's a balance. But I'm sure you're getting that right as you lead up towards the London Olympics. Of course, that's the aspiration for all. Now, talking news of London, 7 Australian athletes have already received early nominations to the AOC to be considered for selection, including World Athlete of the Year Sally Pearson in the 100 hurdles. Long jumper Mitchell Watt, how fantastic was he getting silver in Daegu. Javelin throwers Kimberly Mickle and Jared Bannister, they were superb in Daegu as well. They've already received an early nomination, who both finished in the top 8 at that World Championships, as did Commonwealth discus champion Ben Harradine. Jared Talent, who you spoke about before, who won silver and bronze in the Beijing Olympics, completes the group with fellow walker Luke Adams. So a couple of walkers already there have been up for an early nomination. Now, the London 2012 qualification standards have been reduced in 6 disciplines, which is good news for people in the women's 400 metres and in the women's 5,000 and 400 metre hurdles. That would please Yana Pittman. Sorry, take that back there, Yana. Yana Pittman. Also, shot put javelin and the men's 400 metres. Their qualification standards have all been reduced now. And, of course, I think this is great news for everyone who's involved in social media. Olympic pole vault champion Steve Hooker has finally joined Twitter. You can follow Steve at Steve Hooker PV. At Steve Hooker PV. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. We're going to take a quick break on the flame. We'll continue chatting to Regan Lamble. Also, we will give a call into St. Kitts and have a chat to World Championship bronze medalist of this year, the great Kim Collins.
The Flame on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
And welcome back to The Flame Show. It gives us great pleasure to go over to St. Kitts to talk to a man who captured the world sprint title back in 2002 in Paris. He did retire. He came out to Australia. He competed in the Stor Gift and he got in great form and kept that form all the way through to the 2011 Daegu World Championships, where he captured a bronze medal. His name is, of course, the great Kim Collins, and he joins us now. Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm great, sir. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on the program. And the form that you showed at the Stor Gift, you continued it on. And could you believe it, at your age, to capture a bronze medal in the Daegu World Champs? That was unbelievable.
Yes, it definitely was. But, you know, when you say my age, you make it sound either I'm too young or something. So I don't know.
I'm saying you're far too young, my friend. You're far too young. But you had retired. You had thought that you'd got to the absolute peak of your powers, and you'd given away the sport for a little while.
Yes, I wanted to, but you know, sometimes we're not really finished with the sport as we think. So, you know, it was amazing. It was a very amazing comeback.
The World Championships in Daegu, you had great form throughout all the rounds, and you run in the final, which had a fair share of controversy. Just that little bit of experience, I think, was all important in that race.
Of course, definitely. I mean, there's always some controversy. There's always some persons who rise and those who fall at a championship. But you always want to be the person who comes out victorious together.
And did you notice that around when you're building up to that World Championship final and Usain Bolt's scratched and out of the race from false starting? Did you notice a lot of the young guys around you sort of panicking a little bit, whereas the experienced guys were just, that was their time to shine?
Well, I mean, you know, he's the one to watch, and nobody started coming. And, you know, most of us thought he would be put back in the race, but, you know, I think he really made himself look extra guilty by taking his shirt off and everything. So, yeah, if he didn't do that, they would have put him back in. Blame it on the equipment.
After that World Championships performance, you've already represented your country in 4 Olympic Games, which is an extraordinary achievement in itself. Do you go for the 5th at London?
I mean, you have to. I mean, 4, you tie a record, 5th. I mean, I don't think there's another man who has done 5, so you have to.
I've got Regan Lamble in the studio with me. She's trying to build up towards her very first Olympic Games. Cast your mind back to the 96 Olympics. Of course, that was a famous Olympic final with Donovan Bailey breaking the world record and Frank Fredericks being so good. Addo Bolden running 9.9 and only getting bronze. I mean, that was when sprinting was at the absolute elite. What was it like for a young guy from St. Kitts going to his first Olympics?
Wow, I mean, it was amazing. You know, your mind is just all over the place, you know. You see some of these guys on TV and to actually see them in person for the first time, it really blows your mind, and you can't focus, you can't concentrate. So it's very difficult the first time. But if you have been on the big stage before and you see these persons, you know, it kind of takes away from that when you see them at an Olympics, because you've seen them before, you've raced them before, and those type of butterflies are not in your stomach.
So, Kim, I might be going to my first Olympics. Have you got any tips for me I could take in, bear in mind, going into the village and stuff?
Just panic.
Yeah, I reckon.
What do you think, Kim?
Well, my thing is the best you can do is focus on you and concentrate on your race and your event, because, you know, most of the time, your first event like that, people get sucked in with the lights and the whole fanfare, and they pretty much forget why they're at the championship. They're there to compete. And if you forget why you're there, of course you're going to get caught up and lose focus. But if you can just remember, hey, I come here for this purpose, and after that we can party, we can have the fans here and meet everyone. If you go for business first, pleasure will always come after.
Oh, that's great advice. The reaction in your home island to your success is extraordinary. You've got a day, August 25th is Kim Collins Day in St. Kitts.
Yes, it is.
And I believe you also have a highway named after you. What happens on Kim Collins' Day?
Nothing pretty much, but I am working towards creating my own legacy on that day. And you know, there are tons of ideas to execute, but I haven't been able to put one in practice yet. I try to have a track meet this year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I will be able to put that track meet on that day and just have a track meet. I'm trying to find something that is really associated with Kim Collins to make sure that day is remembered.
That's fantastic. So you promote your own track meet. I don't know, Regan, if they're going to put the walk on.
Yeah, I was going to ask Kim.
20K walk.
Would you potentially be interested in hosting a 20-kilometre walk? I think I wouldn't mind a trip to St. Kitts, to be honest.
Okay. I'm not sure we'll have you.
Either. It'll be very exciting.
You can be polite, Kim, and just say no.
We can make it a 400-meter walk. Make it a bit more exciting.
We'll work something like that. You know, if the opponent is to compete, we can do that. Okay. I'll do that. You know,
that'll be great.
I love the sound of that, Kim. When I see you on the start line against some of the other world-class sprinters, you're a lot lighter than them, yet so clearly your power-to-weight ratio must be extraordinary.
Well, it is, but I have more power than they do. I mean, they look stronger.
Yeah.
But if you look at, especially the start of the race, I'm able to execute and use my power much better than they can. And even though they may appear to be bigger and stronger, it's not always the case in being able to properly use your power and hit the ground properly and use that to propel yourself forward as fast as possible.
Well, Kim, the fact that you come out to Australia, you've been here before, you've been here on a number of occasions, we've sort of adopted you as one of our own. We'll be cheering you on so hard when it comes to the London Olympics. So in many ways, you're competing for St. Kitts and also for Australia. Good luck, mate.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Now, I've got a flaming question, Regan.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you give away the answer to young lady.
I won't.
Because the prize is a signed Sally Pearson World Championship program. And what we want you to do is to post your answers on the Athletics Australia Tour Facebook page, where the question will be posted right now, or else tweet Athletics Australia. You've got to get onto Twitter, Regan.
I know.
We've spoken about it.
I'm a bit behind.
Now, you ready for this? With hashtag flaming question. That's all ahead of you. Now, the question is, how many Australian athletes have already been nominated to the AOC for next year's London Olympics? I'll repeat that. How many Australian athletes have already been nominated to the AOC for next year's Olympic Games? And assigned Sally Pearson World Champs program is a super, super prize. Talking about the Australian Tour, don't forget you can see the Australian best athletes compete next year as they look to secure their place on the London-bound team for the Olympics. Now, the Australian Aths Tour kicks off in Adelaide on Jan 28, heads to Perth. Perth, Feb 11, arrives in Sydney, Feb 18, finishes in Melbourne, March 2 to 3 at Lakeside Stadium. And that of course, is the IAAF Melbourne Track Classic and incorporates the Olympic nomination trials as well. Jump on athletics.com.au for all the details or look on the Facebook page. I suppose with the Athletics Tour, trying to incorporate the walk-in makes it a tough one, doesn't it?
It is a little bit, I guess, because our standard distance is a lot longer and that, understandably, you wouldn't want to hold a 20K walk. So they've been pretty good. We have 5 kilometre walks on the track at the Sydney Track Classic, and I think there's also one this year at the national titles. They've got our nationals are the week earlier for the 20K, so we've got an invitational 5 kilometre walk at the national titles.
Which is like a sprint for you, really.
Well, to an extent, but not quite. It's still, 5K is still a fair distance, so I suppose so.
And you're happy the way your program goes? As you go towards the nationals, you're really happy where you are at training at the moment?
I think so, yeah. For this part of the year, I've been doing a fair bit of base training, so I think that's all going really well. And still obviously got a few more months before February, so we'll do a big block of altitude training in Thredbo and see how we go after that. Hopefully it'll be good.
Well, thanks so much for coming into the studio. You've been a wonderful first ever guest on The Flame Show.
I've tried.
We'll be following your progress with great interest and good luck as you build up towards the London Olympics. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed the first edition of The Flame Show. Each and every week, we'll speak to current champions and past champions from all around the globe. Here, we're talking track and field. But up next is the Subaru Cycling Show.
The Flame on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. The Flame on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.